Morning, UGen family. Good morning. Good morning. It's a wonderful joy to be here together with you and for us just to continue the journey together, enabling you to live missional lives, because that's the heart of the fathers, for us to live missional lives. If you haven't noticed that beautiful picture that you have up there, knowing God, making Him known, love God, love people, reach the world of where you live. He wants to enable you to reach them. But it's a relational gospel that we believe in, and it's planting seeds, watering seeds, and the harvest will be there. It's not a program, it's a lifestyle. So what I'd like to do this morning is give you some feedback, and I'd like Charmaine initially to come.
Hi. So, some context. I went to an event yesterday. It was the 21st. The father is an atheist. The son's an atheist. The mother believes in reincarnation, and the daughter believes there's a God, but she doesn't understand the Jesus thing. So, I've been building relationship with this family for about a year and a half now. So we were sitting around a table, and we were speaking about a young girl that had been in an accident, and she didn't recover properly. She's got some brain damage, and they were saying, or the mother said, she's found religion, and it's good for her. So I was, okay, so the conversation carried on, and then later she went off for a smoke, and I went to go accompany her, not with the smoke. and I was like, I was intrigued at that response out of her. I was like, so I asked her, I said, why is religion good for this girl if you're not really a believer? And she said, actually knocked me on my socks off. She said, everyone needs a crutch. And I was like, okay, Lord, what do I do with this? So I said, yeah, but religion as a crutch is very dangerous because it's not going to lead to a very good space. God, the relationship with Jesus and faith is what she needs. And I hope it turns to that because that's what she needs. Which got us talking about her and her religion. And at this point, Wally and Shirley come to mind, and I'm like, okay, what have I learned? What have I learned? And I just relaxed. I was like, I don't have to get these people saved. I don't have to jump to the end, just one step at a time. And I actually got interested in what she had to say. How does she believe? What is she believing? So she believes that you die, you come back, you die, you come back, and you get better and better and more good inside. I was like, okay, and then I said, well, when are you ready? When are you right for it? And she looked at me and she said, good question. I don't know. Okay, so I said, where did this religion come from? Is it something someone's told you? Is it a religion that exists, or is it something you've come up with yourself? So she said, no, it's something she's come up with and she's thought about. I was like, okay. So then I just had to ask. I think this was God who was like, I looked at her and I said, do you think my trust in God is a crutch for me? And she looked at me and I was like, how do I deal with whatever she says now? I don't know. And she said, she doesn't think so. She doesn't know that situation about me well enough to make that judgment. So she doesn't know if I'm using it as a crutch. And I said, great, this is a conversation for another time. We'll move into that again. So it was just Wally and Shirley helped me relax, and I didn't have to concentrate on getting her saved. That was not the point. The point was being interested in what she had to say and asking questions and getting her to tell me stuff until she got confused, which was quite cool.
Well done. Charmaine, well done for being bold and courageous and not stepping back, but stepping into building a relational bridge that you can begin just to take a step further to say, hey, I've been thinking about that reincarnation. Have you any friends that have come back that you've engaged with in any form or fashion? You know, so what you need to do is go back and say, Lord, what are some good questions that I could chat with them next to begin to let them see the folly of believing in reincarnation? But I want to commend you for that. Well done, Charmaine. Well done. See, if we all are journeying with people, relationally loving people, that there's a bridge that's built that Jesus can begin to cross, but who knows when, but we've got to journey with people to faith and then in faith with them. This morning, before we look at scriptures and I teach, Shirley and I had been praying, and the Lord had impressed something on Shirley's heart that I'm going to ask her just to share, and then from that we're going to pray and then take it further. Thank you, love.
It's so good to see you guys. Just first of all, I do want to just, I know it's our last Sunday all together before we go to the camp. I really just want to say, first of all, thank you for your incredible open hearts towards us while we've been here. It's been so amazing. We feel like we've knitted into this family. Your hospitality has been amazing. And just want to say we really do appreciate that. And then last Sunday, when we were worshiping, I just felt God give me just a simple word of encouragement. And he dropped into my heart the line, "This is a house of freedom. This is a house of freedom." And I look at the heart atmosphere of this place, and I look at Paul, and I look at Kate, and I look at some of the leaders that are functional here and everything. I see a heart that accepts people, that accepts people and allows people to grow and be who God wants them to be. And I just felt like that was such a beautiful heart atmosphere in this church, that God is going to use that to bring people into freedom. And that freedom looks like you coming into all that God has created for you. What I love about Paul and Kate is they not only accepting, they're also honest. And I think when we're coming into what God has for us and learning to explore who he's created us to be and what he wants us to do that makes our lives significant, we need both acceptance and honor, and we need honesty. And the two together help us come into all that God has created. And so I felt that that was the heart atmosphere of this church. And it's beautiful to bring you into a place of freedom. And then I felt like the broken would really come and also be healed and find freedom. And so I want to say, I want to encourage each and every one of you, if you are just kind of attending, begin to explore what God has put on the inside of you. Come to those that are around you and just say, this is stirring in my heart, because I feel like God wants to release people into that which God has created them for. But it's a place of freedom that allows you that. So Paul and Kate, I want to just commend you for your heart's attitude. It's just so beautiful. I've even just felt so like just accept it. But I feel like it's for everybody here. It's a heart thing in this church. It's beautiful. It really is beautiful. And then I was just praying for Stellenbosch in general. And I had these two lines. One was from debauchery to devotion. That's what I felt God wanted to do in this town, from debauchery to devotion. And I'm excited about that. And I've just been praying that and releasing that over this town. And devotion for me is just saying, and I think it starts in the church, where we just say, "Jesus, I'm yours. Everything of who I am is yours." And as we have that devotion of Jesus, I'm set apart for you. And that devotion that captures every one of our hearts is actually going to influence this town. And then the other thought I had was from questioning to having their thirst quenched. And I just felt like in this town, we all know it, it's very, because it's a varsity, there's a lot of intellectualism. I believe God wants to reach the head and the mind, but he also wants to reach the heart. And I felt that you as a church would be part of helping people see their thirst actually quenched. And that thirst that every single human being has is the thirst to be loved, the thirst to belong, the thirst for significance. And I just felt as a church you would bring people into that place where they see their thirst actually quenched, not just their questions answered, but their thirst quenched. And yeah, so I hope you're encouraged by that, but I feel like as a church you're called to do that.
Would you pray for us, please, love, for this church? Thank you.
Thank you, Father. Father, first of all, I want to thank you for the heart attitude and the heart atmosphere in this church, of just wanting to, one of acceptance, one of embrace, but also one of honesty. And I just pray that each and every person here would feel safe to actually begin to explore who they are, who you've created them to be, and what you've called them to do, and that they'd find this church a spacious place. It would be a spacious place. And I thank you for that, Father. And I thank you for devoted hearts in this congregation, hearts that even know how to have their own thirst quenched by you, Jesus, because you are living waters. You are the bread of life. And as this church knows how to receive from you, that they would be able to go into the world and help others connect to you and see their thirst quenched and their questions answered. I just pray for that, and I bless this church with the presence and the leading of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, darling. Thank you. Thank you. This morning, as Shirley had mentioned, our last Sunday in our corporateness, but there is the family camp that we're really looking forward to. But this morning, I'd like to teach and instruct and help you practically on how we can strengthen our inner man's missional muscle. So if you want a title, how do we strengthen our inner man's missional muscles? And we're going to look at that. But many of you might have heard, might be aware of, this last week we saw one of the greatest evangelists in our century graduate to be with Jesus. And there was a sad moment, but I think a moment of massive celebration in heaven of him seeing face to face the one who he loved and preached and taught about so passionately and seeing millions come to faith. And as I was pondering and reflecting upon that, I thought, Lord, what are you saying about this? And I just sensed the Lord saying, Wally, I don't need any more Billy Grahams. I don't need a dozen or 50 or 100 Billy Grahams to reach this world. I need each and every one of my children to begin to stand up and be counted and let their voice be heard. And I do believe that God is wanting his body, his church, to begin to rise and shine in the world in which they live and begin to be counted. Each and every one of us. So often we've looked to those five talented believers. But I believe we're living in an era where every believer with one talent would begin to use that to their max, and then it would be multiplied in their lives. Each and every one of us being used by God where we are, where we live, where we work, and where we play. But I want to share with you about a comical moment that happened maybe about a year ago in the Virgin Active gym that's just down the road from us. And I went down to the gym and I played squash with a friend, and he went home. I went in to shower, change, and go home. And as I sat down in the normal place where I sit and change, there were these two guys that were in front of the mirror, and they were going like this, and they were going like this, and they were going all sorts. Now I sat there and I started watching them. They were flexing their muscles of note. The one particular guy was there, and he had this six-pack that he made to move. It was like moving. And I thought to myself, I've got a wine barrel. It does move, but he's got a six-pack. And so I was watching these two guys with great intrigue, and they were saying, pointing at this muscle, and the guy said, no, you've got to develop this muscle. You've got to develop this muscle, whatever. And there is a mischievous side to me. So what I did is that I was watching that. I took my t-shirt off and I went in the mirror and I started going like this. And the two guys just burst out laughing. I said, guys, do you think you could help me find a six pack inside here? That led into a wonderful discussion and a wonderful chat that we had together about the difference between our outer man and our inner man. These two guys were Muslims, and they were training for Mr. S.A. Physique. I'd never heard of that competition. And they were on the most stringent diet. I would pass out just hearing what they had to say. And he says he's got 2 or 3% fat, body fat. I said, I went once to those Virgin Discovery health assessments, and this particular lady took this contraption, and she took my love handles and squeezed it. I felt violated, and And she says, you've got about 30-something percent. I thought, is that good or bad? It depends whether you're a seal or a human, you know. But so I got chatting with these different guys. And it was an amazing half an hour or so conversation that we had. How often we focus so much on our outer man, we neglect developing and strengthening our inner man of character, conviction, and the things that really count in life. With reference to our relationship with God, will so affect our outer man as we grow daily in strength on the inside. Because as a church, we're called to be a launching pad into the world, not a landing strip. And when we begin to live missional, we begin to think mission starts every day when I leave my home. Mission starts the moment I walk out the door. There's somebody God's going to cause to crisscross my path on how I can love people. And it's loving people. That's the mark by which we will be known, is by our love one for another. That's something when it's authentic and real, it gets people's attention. But how many of you know that often muscle cramps come as a result of a lack of salt? Now, how can we develop our inner man muscles that we don't get cramps and back off and become timid or cowardly? Now, the first muscle organ of our inner man that I'm wanting to mention is the heart. Our heart is a muscle, our physical heart, but there's our spiritual heart that becomes new when we say yes to Jesus and acknowledge His lordship and rulership in and over our lives. Now, when you become born again, you become a new creature, new on the inside. But we've got to take it a step further and begin to say, Lord, give me your heart, your burden, your concern for those that are far from you. Because otherwise we live a very self-centered existence and we never move into the fullness of what God has for us. We never move into missional living if we focused on self. We need to be focused on Him and those that are out there. So we need to begin to say, Lord, give me your heart to help me to love the way you love. We need to say, Lord, begin to enlarge my capacity to love people. That's when we begin to start exercising our inner heart muscle. How do we begin to do that? I always look to Jesus and say, Jesus, how did you do that? And last night, as I was falling asleep, I was reflecting on Jesus' last 24 hours on this planet. And the amazing intensity of Jesus' love in Gethsemane, where he sweated blood. But I don't believe we need to sweat blood. I do believe we need to sweat tears for those that are far from him in the place of prayer. I do believe that we need to, through plowing, we'll sweat, which is also both salty out of interest. But if you think of Gethsemane, when the Roman sort of soldiers came to arrest Jesus, how he said, it's me that you're looking for, let these men go. The total selflessness of Jesus. I would have said, guys, we're a band of brothers. Let's stick together. He was totally selfish. When you ask the Lord for his heart, he'll begin to break down self that Christ can begin to shine forth. You know, you could look at all the gospel miracles that Jesus performed. One of the most profound for me was how Jesus, where Peter cut the ear off of one of those people that were coming to arrest, and he healed his ear. He healed it. Imagine the ear lying on the floor, blood all over. Jesus picks it up and heals him. And they were all witnesses. I don't know about you, but if I witnessed that, I'd have stepped back and go, whoa. That's again just the demonstration of his love. At the cross, he was giving love and forgiveness and eternal life to the one thief. At his death, when the earth shook and it became dark, the centurion responded, said, surely this man was the Son of God. If you just look at the absolute passion of love that Jesus had in the last 24 hours, I say, Jesus, help me to love the way you love. Help me to love the way you love. We begin to strengthen our heart muscle through prayer. If you look at Jesus in Gethsemane,
He prayed for his disciples, and fascinating John chapter 17 verse 20, he says, my prayer is not for them alone. I also pray for those who will believe in me through their message. So on earth, Jesus prayed, and currently Jesus is the right hand of the Father interceding on our behalf, praying also, I believe, for those that are far from him. Can I encourage you, when you begin to pray for those far from God, God begins to break your heart for them. Ask God for a revelation of eternity. A revelation of eternity. I've had seasons where it just became more and more real to me. And it was about 18 months ago, a friend of mine who had been struggling with cancer after 10 years of battling with it, he says, Wally, I'm quitting. I'm throwing in the towel. And I said, Lord, how do I help him prepare to meet with you? And I just sensed the Lord show him the glories of eternity, the wonders of heaven. And I began to search the net and do research. And when I met with him every second day, I just show him pictures. We look at videos and DVDs. And I just began to just see his excitement of seeing Jesus face to face and spending the rest of his life with him. See, when we begin to have a revelation of eternity and the briefness of life, that motivates me to live missional. It helps me to begin to realize life is so brief, eternity is so vast. See, when we begin to strengthen the muscle of our heart, we become courageous and bold. And I believe that was one of the primary reasons for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is to be able to be courageous and bold, and that grows with every step we take. Just the way these two ladies shared their stories of just engaging with people during the week, what's happened? Their hearts have been gripped by the gospel. Their hearts have been gripped, and they think, well, I cannot but speak of that which I've encountered and experienced. So the first is your heart. The second eye we need to develop are our missional eyes. The eye is a phenomenal piece of God engineering with 8 muscles in each eye. But you know what Jesus said in John chapter 4 verse 35 to 38? He said, open your eyes and look at the fields, for they are ripe unto harvest. All around us, there are ripe hearts. But so often we've got blinkers on. God is wanting us to have a wide angle lens and begin to see what he sees, to hear the cry of other people's hearts and lives. Can I say to you, as you begin to say, Lord, show me the ripe harvest fields, it's amazing what God begins to do. Little conversations that you think are insignificant become weighty for those that hear. It's amazing what one can begin to do. It's interesting in Luke chapter 15 verse 20, you know the story and the account of the prodigal son really well. As I was reading it a couple of months ago, what caught my attention is that the father, who was a senior person, saw his son a long way off. Most senior folk, the long way off is a blur. But he saw his son a long way off. Can we by faith see people a long way off and run to them and just love them for who they are? God wants us to begin to have faith for those that are far from him. No matter how horrendous they may be currently living, it's often part of a veneer and a cover-up for the aching heart that they have. Let's begin to have faith for those that are far from him. Let's begin to ask God for spiritual 2020 vision. For us to be able to, and you'll always find what you're looking for. You'll always find what you're looking for. If you're looking for the broken, the lost, the hurting, the Lord will lead you across their path. And as I've been encouraging and saying ongoingly, don't ever see the gospel as a program, but it's a lifestyle. The gospel is relational. And if we go on a relational journey with people, those hearts are open and we see them step by step by step moving towards Christ. It's such a joy. It's such a thrill. In Luke chapter 14, about the banquet, what did Jesus say? Look for the blind, the crippled, the lame, and the poor. That's the kind of people we need to begin to see. Even that Muslim agnostic who had gone through things, he was beginning to become more open. I found pain is a massive calling card for people. When people walk through valleys or tragedies or losses, they seem to be more open because their humanity, they see how fragile they are. They see how fragile they are. The blinded, those that are blinded by money, religion, pride, ego. We live in a selfie generation and self blinds one. The people that are crippled through offense, through hurt, through injustice, snared by sin or the demonic. Those that are lame, sitting down due to loss, divorce. It could be a number of different things. The poor, not just the economically poor, but the people that see themselves in a distorted way. They need the gospel for them to realize it's not self-image, but his image we call to reflect to the world. Thirdly, the missional muscle of our mouth. Your tongue is a muscle, believe it or not. And I only found out recently it has 8 muscles that make up your tongue. Most of us don't have a problem in talking, some a little more than others. But if I can encourage you, remember the SALT acronym, S-A-L-T. Start a conversation. Just start a conversation. Ask the questions, listen, and then tell your story. In Colossians chapter 4, it says, let your conversation, which implies two-way, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. See, a missional tongue builds bridges between hearts. Firstly, through acknowledging words. Acknowledging words are hello. You know, in the book of Matthew, Jesus said, be the first to greet one another. How can you share the gospel with people that you haven't even greeted or met or have any form of bridge whatsoever? Otherwise, we become sales reps. Can I say to you, just a friendly acknowledging hello, friendly words, how are you? Affirming words. And as you begin to go and you become aware of these different words, kind words, encouraging words, faith, hope-filled words, loving words, truth-filled words, and they all point to Jesus. Just yesterday when I popped into the spa just to get a bite to eat, I'm a grandpa in training. Peter's one already. He's ahead of me. I'm one in training, so I'm automatically drawn to any small children. And there was this couple, they were pushing a pram, and I popped in. It was a little girl, and I got chatting together with her. Her name was Bia. I've never heard of that name before. Bia. No, not Castle Bia, but Bia. I don't know how you spell it. A cute family. And they were first-time parents, and you could see the wide eye, lack of sleep kind of look. And so I just started encouraging, how's your parenting journey going, and et cetera, et cetera. And they said, no, it's going to get better because we've dedicated our little one to God. I said, that's a cool thing. When did you do that? 2 weeks ago. So they're quite excited about that. And in their minds, all of it, I could see they were traditional religious people. And they thought that that was going to be the answer because they've dedicated their little one to God. And I said, you know what really matters most in her life? And I commend you for dedicating her. But when parents live dedicated lives to God and model a life of believing in Jesus and following him, your little one is going to follow automatically. Have you done that? They said, no, we're thinking. I could see the wheels in reverse gear. So I said, can I urge you to strongly encourage a life of devotion and dedication to Jesus that's beyond religion into a relationship? It was maybe 3 or 4 minutes, if that, just outside the spa where they've got the restaurant there. So what I do now, I take their names, I put them in my Lamb's Book of Life, and I pray for them. And I say, Jesus, who else will there be that will plant a seed, water a seed, that they begin to realize religion cannot save, only Christ can. God wants us to begin to say, Lord, help me to always be prepared to give an answer for the faith and the hope that I have. The missional muscles of our feet. fascinating thing. Our feet and our ankles have more than 100 muscles, tendons. And we all know the verse in the Old Testament, how beautiful are the feet of them that bring good news. I remember looked into the historical account of what did Isaiah mean about beautiful feet? Because on the walls of cities, there were watchmen that watched. Because in Bible times, they didn't have emails, SMSs, WhatsApp. They were running postmen. They would run from one city to another with a message of bountiful harvest. Watch out for enemies, births, royalty, whatever exciting was happening. And they would run from town and city to city with good news. Now, if they had good news, they were deemed to have beautiful feet. If they had good news, they were said to be messengers with good news. But if they said, hold on, batten down, the enemy is coming, it was like, whoa, hold on a second. Thank you for that news, and we're getting ready for a war. But you and I have been beautified by the gospel, that our feet become beautiful, that we begin to go and carry that. Just as our feet carry the weight of our body, our inner man's feet carry the weight of the gospel. Live as a sent one. Paul, on that beautiful video clip that he did earlier on, read from the Gospel of Luke chapter 4, and how Jesus said, how the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has sent me. See, a missional minded, hearted person will never go anywhere. They are sent everywhere. Live with the urgency of being sent. Being sent. It's a beautiful truth as you follow it through scripture. Over 40 times in the Gospel of John alone, Jesus referred to himself as being sent. You're a sent one. When you go to the spa, or you go to the gym, or you go to lectures, go into lectures and say, Jesus, who would you like me to sit next to? In your having dinner at in the res, say, dear Lord, who should we have dinner with tonight? Who can we invite? Who can I go sit next to? See, a missional person is always thinking about others before themselves. And how can they encourage them and help them? As you step out, God steps in. So often we want God to break through and then we'll step in. But it's as we step in, God steps in. And I want to so encourage you, where you are is your mission field. That's your harvest place. The last one is your hand, which has 34 different muscles. And those muscle groups we all need to develop. And I believe that if you go back to the book of Exodus, if you remember the fascinating question, God asked Moses, what is in your hand? And that was a rod. Now God has placed in our hands, in deposited in us, different gifts, talents, and abilities. And as we begin to discover them, we can begin to utilize them to reach out to people in a very natural but supernatural way. And there could be a myriad of things. Some of them you might think are insignificant. Some of them could just be hobbies. I'll give you one that you would deem as insignificant, but it's been a massive tool. I love, and I used to love, making wooden frames from crates. And the reason why, when we've just recently moved from Cape Town to Durban, I don't know, love, how many frames did we bring? Over 100. But I've given hundreds away. Just as gifts to different people at different times to say, you know what, we've all got memories. And the best way to remember is to frame it. And just randomly to different people. And then I begin to write things on the back of the frames that could encourage them, that if there have been painful memories, Jesus can bring healing and create and start new memories. I love chilies. I love hot stuff. Born in Durban. So I used to make chili sauce and smoke chilies with different this, that, and everything. And Hussein, my pharmacy friend, who's an Indian guy, loves hot stuff. So whenever I went to get stuff from him, I'd take him a bottle of chili, to the point where he had phoned me up and said, hey, I'm missing my chilies. I've run out. And what I was doing is, through something I enjoyed doing, I just began to share with others. I think Aiden, you here, right? You've had a bit of my chili stuff. And it's just, using what you've got, whether it's squash, paddle skiing, any sport, whatever it is begin to use that to build bridges relationally that you can journey with people. I've just started playing squash in Durban in the group there, and there were a couple of pastors that I bumped into, and they said, "Hey, Willie, would you join us?" I said, "I'll join you for half an hour, but the other half an hour, I want you to join me in my circle of friends and play with Bernard, play with Michael, play with Owen, and let them win a game at least. Because if you're going to win all the time, they don't want to play." So I am involved in match fixing. I'm just glad there's no third umpire to catch me out. If they look back at the scorecard, it's just a God incident that he wins one, I win one, he wins one, I win one. But you know, when I'm building relational bridges, I said to them after squash, "What are you doing?" "I'm just going home." "Don't you want to come to my place for a cup of coffee?" They said, "Great, that'll be cool." Guess what we do on the deck? We talk more hard stuff. But what was the way in? What I had in my hand was a squash racket. The guys that I fish with, afterwards, "Hey, you're smelling of bait and everything. Hey, come to my place, let's have a coffee." Great. See, what you're doing, what you love doing and enjoy doing, use that to reach out. I remember Don with drumming. He was one of our key drummers. He went to the schools and offered drumming lessons for young guys. They came, he taught them, and through building relationship and loving them and fathering them, numbers came to faith. Johnny, another friend, has got a gym in his double garage, and he has ex-addicts come to the gym, and he makes them pump irons. And they've got this loud Christian music, and he's using his gifts and talents to reach out to others. Can I encourage you, whether it's book clubs or cooking or whatever it is, those talents that God's placed in your hands, use them to reach out to love people. Can I urge you, begin to chat with one another. What are those gifts, talents, and abilities that God's given to you? And you need to spur one another to use them to reach out beyond yourself. God's given us a heart, eyes, mouth, feet, and hands to live missionally, but we need to strengthen those muscles. Over this camp, we're going to be talking about visions and dreams. What's God's vision and dream for your life, and how you can begin to step into that more and more? And some of it has to do with his gifts, talents, and abilities. But God wants to use each and every one of you, starting with your neighbors. You know what each and every one of us can do is exercise the gift of hospitality. It takes minimal effort. Just say, "Hey, come over and join us for dinner. Just come over and share what we've got." We've had some of the most sweetest moments with our neighbors that are far from God, but just connecting with them. There's a lady at number two that we invited over. Her name's also Shirley. And just in our chatting, found out Shirley and her went to the same school together, lived in the same area, but didn't really know one another. But they knew the same people, teachers, etc., etc. And there's an immediate connection. Do you see what I'm saying? I believe each and every one of us should know our neighbors by name, praying for them, where they are in relation with God, that we can lovingly help them to him. I'm going to close, but I'm wanting to pray for your spiritual heart, your eyes that you can see. I want to pray for your mouth to be able to plant seeds that people can start thinking about God more. Then I want to pray that your feet and hands would reach out and stretch out beyond. I'd love to do that as we conclude this morning. Father, this morning, thank you for each and every person here. Lord, thank you for their devotion and commitment to you. And Father, I pray this morning that we would begin to start exercising our inner man's spiritual muscles. That, Lord, on the inside we wouldn't get flabby and fat, but that, God, we would begin to exercise them each and every single day. Lord, I ask you, enlarge our hearts to love those far from you. Lord, enlarge our hearts to pray more for those that are far from you. Father, give us revelation of you that we can encounter you and share you more effectively. Father, I pray, open our eyes to our neighbors and person down the road and around the corner, work colleagues, customers, clients, that we can just take time just to love them, hear them out. Father, I pray for fresh courage in every heart to be able to speak out of our love for you, Jesus, and our commitment to you. Lord, help us to be those living epistles read and known by everyone. Father, I thank you for feet that will walk and go to people. Jesus, you never waited for people to come to you. You went to them. Help us to follow in your footsteps. And Lord, I pray, help each and every person discover the wealth of gifts and talents you've deposited in them, that they could use it to honor you and to reach out to others. Father, I pray this my whole heart in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.